107 and the Adelaide Crows present...
Ozzy Adley!
The Podscast.
Jenkins, a boy! March turns, runs, and he kicks it!
Welcome back for another episode of the podcast. Round 18, probably the biggest game of the year, would we all agree? Everybody in the room, J-Pod.
Welcome back, Amos.
I missed the last one, didn't I?
Didn't you?
I did, yes.
Yeah, we went up a level.
How was the man that stepped in for me?
We didn't fill you in. Your seat was bare, mate.
was that better.
Speaking about fill-ins, we've got a big name in today.
We do have a massive name. We've got Beck Goddard as well, who's just signed a one-year deal.
Hi, guys.
We'll get to that. And the fill-in for JJ is none other than the Rat, Rory Atkins. How are you, mate?
Good. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, the Rat.
Mate, you're on the journey. We were just talking before about ambassadorships and players sort of...
He's come a long way from big Sturt Reserves.
And Sturt Reserves, and here you are now on the podcast. It must be a high praise honour for you.
That's good timing. You're only, are you 1 week away playing 50, aren't you?
Yes, if all goes to plan, it'll be next week.
Come on, man. We've got a plan.
Yeah, that's right. So,
well, we'll say congratulations on the 49 games.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Big milestone.
Getting ready for 50. Let's just talk about the last game. What's Darwin like to play footy? Apparently the deck was incredible.
Yeah, that's right. Grounds like that where they don't play too many games, they... get the ground up in immaculate condition because they may only play 2 to 3 AFL games there a year. I know the women's team went up there this year and I'm sure it would have been in great condition then as well. So, they do a great job up there.
I heard it took Eddie Betts half an hour to get back to the bus.
Yeah, that's right. When we're warming up, you hear everyone, well, every player on the ground was out there, but everyone's going, Eddie. And, he's pointing to people in the crowd like, I don't know whether he was related to him or anything, but it seemed like everyone up there knew him and, he was a fan.
Yeah, Smithers told me you guys got to the bus after the game and then you went, oh, we've made a mistake with Eddie leaving last because he did about half an hour of selfies and whatnot.
Yeah, that's right. We should have escorted him to the bus because he just got mobbed.
Yeah, which is great for people in Darwin, really. I mean, they don't really see any AFL games when you get, Melbourne have got some pretty big names and Eddie Betts is probably the biggest name we've got. And I suppose NT is even bigger. So,
would you say he's the most universally loved player in the league now? I always used to think it was Bob Murphy. And I think we kind of got a bit tired of, Bob, you hurt yourself. And it's, well done. We all love you and everything. But let's move on to the next one. And that's Eddie Betts.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the thing that matters the most is that our supporters love him. And internally, our players and our coaches, our training staff, respect the way he goes about footy and the way he goes about his life. So, yeah, we love him.
The kids, they well loved Louis. I saw a bit of wandering Louis, roaming Louis. He gets down the change rooms.
Do you babysit him, right? Or is it just other kids that you babysit?
No, I've looked after Tom Lynch's son, Kobe, a couple of times. But Eddie doesn't live too far away in Lockleys. So, I've been over there a couple of times.
Does Lynchy ever look after Kobe?
He's brought him into the club a couple of times, but he's quick to dish his son off.
Well, it was a good game. We got the win and we needed to. Bernie Vince caused a bit of ire as always. How was it on the field with Bernard?
It's always fun to play against old teammates, but he did the job on Sloaney and unfortunately for Sloaney, he got concussed halfway through the third quarter, which we needed to pick up the slack for him, but Bernie's done a good job on him in the past, and unfortunately for Sloaney, he couldn't continue out there.
Let's play some audio. This is on Sloaney and Tex in the airport coming home from the game, talking about his condition.
Nice little hit. Had a little snooze on ground there for a bit, so I feel pretty refreshed right now. I remember getting up and I thought I was actually trying to man the mark at one stage here.
I could see clearly he wasn't with it, and then the doctors were trying to get him off, but he was pretty reluctant to get off, so I just thought I'd go there and see how he was, and I could pretty much tell straight away, so... My recommendation was jump off the ground. We got back on with the game.
I got off and about half an hour later I felt back to normal pretty much, so I'm feeling good now today as well. If I'm feeling pretty normal throughout the week, then I'll just build up my training.
How was he through the week?
Really good. I mean, fortunate for us, he's passed all his concussion protocols and all the tests, and he's going to play tonight, which is good.
Talk to me about the concussion test. How easy is it? Could someone who's not been concussed still fail it? Because I feel like...
No, so...
Could you just be dumb and fail?
Well...
Rat's nodding his head along.
You can, but what it does, the first time you do it sets you a baseline.
Oh, right, okay.
So that baseline, no matter what score you get and how quick you are with some of the responses, that's your baseline. And then after you get concussed or after you get hit in the head, you do that test a few times during the week, and it basically measures your pre-score with your post-score.
I reckon people would be interested. Do you know, how does it go? What kind of questions are they? Because you hear about concussion tests. I used to think it was just, lights in the eyes and that's it. But is it actual riddles?
I think the thing about concussion tests is unfortunately for footballers, they're competitive beasts and they want to win. So I know when all of our girls did their baseline test at the start of the year and then we had to do concussion tests for a number of them during the season, they were like, God, I wish I hadn't been so quick on that damn test.
So you'd recommend as a coach to go in like an absolute thicko in the first test so then you can kind of get away with it.
That wouldn't be the right thing to do, isn't it? You've got to look after the head. But it is interesting to hear, you know, players who actually do the test afterwards and think, oh, I don't know why I did that so
fast. What do you think of the compulsory week out that a lot of people are pushing? I know BT's big on that. He always talks about the need to have, once you've been concussed, you just simply cannot play the next week.
Well, the research suggests that these concussion tests are actually quite valid. So we've got a pretty strong protocol at the moment. If that protocol is scientifically proven, let's just stick with it. And sometimes that means the player has a week off because he hasn't gone through the, hasn't passed the test. And sometimes, like this week with Sloaney, that he has passed the test and he's right to go. So let's not miss out on a quality player playing AFL.
And we're going to need him this week, of course, against the Cats. I think every Crows fan, this is the game that you kind of pencil down at the beginning of the year, is the Cats games with the Dangerfield history. And it's also with the two, probably, well, with GWS, the bigger clubs this season, now with Sydney coming along as well. The Cats have had the wood over us. What are we going to do differently, Pods?
Well, now, well, firstly, I mean, what a great night tonight, first versus second, which is great. And externally, I mean, the whole of the AFL and the nation will be watching this game, which is great for our club and where we sit on the ladder and what we've achieved so far this season. So externally, it should be built up as a big game. And internally, you know, we don't build it up as much, but there is still some components. It is another side that we're playing that is aiming to play finals and win finals, and we're one of those teams too. So it's important that we play well against them.
How do you feel about Friday night footy, Rat? Yeah, we're doing a lot of that this season. Do you feel like you bring your best on a Friday night? Does it get something extra out of you? What's it like as a player?
Yeah, I love playing on a Friday night. I feel like it's the biggest game of the week. All eyes are on us because it's the only game on, as opposed to two Saturday night games. But yeah, love playing Friday night, especially at Adelaide Oval. I mean, our fans are great and it's great under lights there. And yeah, I'm looking forward to having a big one. I mean, I haven't played as well as I could have against Geelong in the past. So yeah, I'm looking forward to putting my best foot forward.
Did you go blonde the last Friday night game we had, or the one before? Was it a Friday night game you went blonde?
No. We played on a Saturday night up at the Gold Coast. I remember it quite vividly.
That's
where
you did it. So yeah. The home crowd
it
couldn't get you.
It has faded out now. What's happened? Has told you to pull the head in?
No, it was just a bit too much upkeep for myself. And the scalp was getting a bit sore.
Well, Dangerfield, of course, like I said, is the big interest factor for a lot of people. And people didn't think he'd actually play. And then some people, some actual South Australian people, big names down here, said that he might be a bit of an exaggerator. Kane Corns had this to say on the Sunday Footy Show.
He does exaggerate injuries. Oh. Well, it goes back in his time at Adelaide, his teammates had to sit him down and say, look, you do carry on a little bit with your injuries. And he does. So I'd be surprised if he missed with that injury yesterday.
Not going to name any names, but I've had some Crows players, one in particular, won't say who, confirm to me that might be a little bit true. That he did tend to exaggerate the odd injury here and there during a session.
Wow. So you're saying Kane's mail is true or right?
Kane's based his mail off something.
Well, let's just set the record straight. Kane Corns never wore a Crows jumper and was never in the change rooms. So that's the first thing, I suppose, that we can definitely say. And whether there was a passing comment or whatever it was, who knows, but the reality of it is that we can't disrespect Danger too much because he did play a fair few pretty good games for the Crows as well in that period.
When he says exaggerate, did you see it as making up injuries or more like, oh God, you know, could hardly walk that quarter, but like Dermy, I pulled through.
Well, I never saw it.
With Danger, like for that instance, he may have, but I've played with him for a season or so, and I've known that he's played with, say, sprained AC joints, cracked ribs, broken ribs, and even if he may carry on the instance that it does happen, I've known.
Yes, we're all very classy. Yeah,
but he has pushed through some stuff that I probably would have missed with.
Well, can we get Texas? Right. We'll get Texas' response to that on the same show.
Not a big fan of players that come out of the game and don't have a positive spin on the game because we all love the game of footy.
I think you're angling for a media position yourself at the end of your career, Tex. It'll be reasonably boring if you're all just positive.
I always look at the positive things. Pretty glass half full, Cone. So like to keep it that way.
Tex, do you think there's any way you could reconcile your differences with Kane Corns? Catch up and just have a coffee and just sort of sort your differences out.
coffee inside a boxing ring or something.
Tech said that he finds Kane too negative. He doesn't like when ex-players go into the media and they're really, really negative. And those two obviously have a bit of beef. They get a lot of into a lot of Twitter fights. How
my
favourite
thing to watch on Twitter.
Those yep. two particularly?
Yeah, that and Liz Cambridge. Anytime she goes off, I love it.
Do you think people in the football, because obviously he's making a name for himself, Kane, by he kind of says what he likes. Is there a danger in doing that that a lot of the modern football community go? Mm.
Yeah, well, firstly, I don't follow Kane. I haven't seen much of his comments, to be honest, so I can't comment too much about him. But I do think that there's a bit of a rhetoric around AFL that most of the stuff that comes out is looking for a story or that it is to has a negative bias. And I think what our footy club does well, and other footy clubs too, we have a lot more content now that we actually produce ourselves. And most of that content is actually bit more about what's going on in the footy club and some of the good stories. And we'll talk about a good story in a second with Alex Keith playing tonight. But I feel that some of that stuff's kind of missed as well.
Well, let's talk about Alex Keith.
All right,
I saw his name pop up, did a bit of research from him, and I knew the name, but I knew it from him being an Adelaide Strikers player.
Yeah.
He plays cricket. So what's his story? You've played alongside him now for, what is it, one season, two seasons he's been there?
Yeah, he's been here for two seasons now. He's done three pre-seasons worth, I think.
So introduce him to everyone who's listening to this who's going to look at his name on the team sheet. What's he all about?
Yeah, so Alex Keith, former cricketer. He's played for the Victorian Bushrangers. He's played for the Melbourne Stars and the Adelaide Strikers. Yeah, and he was quite a good footballer growing up. He was in the AIS Academy when he was 18 years old. And a few of the guys that Cole Hardigan was in his AIS group, and he said he was one of the best forwards growing up that he'd seen. But he decided to go with cricket, and now he's playing in the back line for the Adelaide Crows. And, yeah, his form's been great in the sample and sees him getting his first game on the tonight.
Yeah, so Hamish Ogilvie actually tracked him all the way through his juniors and then sort of stayed in contact with him while he was playing cricket. And the end of 2015, the club sort of offered him a contract. I'm pretty sure there's a few others that did it as well. But what our club said was you can continue to play cricket over the summer, and whether the Adelaide Strikers things take off or the Sheffield Shield stuff goes off as well, you can continue playing that. We put him on a program. So he'd come to training every sort of second day, do some stuff outside of cricket to get fit and AFL ready. And then the goal last year was to play him in potentially 10 games. And he played a little bit more than that, I think. And what we saw in last year's final series at the Adelaide Oval, we saw some really good signs. And he came back this year, had a pretty good pre-season. He's actually quite versatile, can play forward.
Play any more cricket, can he? Now that he's playing, once he walks out for first team for the Adelaide Crows, that'll be for him in cricket, do you think?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's an AFL player. He chose to play AFL in last year, so he spent the whole of last year, the whole of this preseason.
So, what was his last professional cricket game?
Last summer before last.
Summer before last.
So, and he's played down back. He started the season this year in the forward line, and the last probably 5 or 6 weeks, he's gone down back, and we really like what we've seen down there in terms of him knowing how to play the system.
Because my question to you is, how good do you have to be as a player to be allowed to go, and I'm going to be playing Big Bash too?
Well, that happened back in the day, didn't it?
Like, it did, yeah. Bo Jackson, what about that guy?
Yeah, Bo Jackson, what a star. Baseball and NFL.
But it just wouldn't happen anymore?
No,
it's in women's football. It does happen in women's football still. Because it's semi-professional and they've got to earn a living. So you'll see.
Elise Perry?
Yeah, Elise Perry. She's, playing really well for the Southern Stars at the moment. So, and can play soccer.
And let's talk about you for a second, Beck. You made news. You've got two things coming up. One, we're going to talk about your contract, and you're doing JJ's top four as well, which I'm looking forward to. it does need a lift, let's be honest. And you've got no laptop as well. Usually JJ lumps in this big laptop, puts his finger on the screen as he leads across. Let's talk about this one-year deal.
Yep. Yeah, exciting. Exciting to be back at the club. For another AFLW season. And also this week, you know, the big news of BHP, Think Big, coming on as the AFLW Crows sponsor for the next 3 years, which is huge. You know, they're a global company who can see how important women in sport is. And
But they got a three and you got a one.
Yeah, but that's still the nature of the competition, isn't it? You know, all the players are on one-year deals as well. So, we'll just see how it evolves.
And when do you get back to work? When does the program start?
Middle of November. You know, the AFL are yet to set the exact date, but we expect pre-season will start 1 week earlier, so sometime in November.
And what are you doing at the moment?
Working full-time for the AFP. So I'm still the sergeant of the Joint Anti-Child Exploitation Team with SAPOL and, yeah, just doing shift.
Now, I'm not sure how much we can talk about your job, but people are very fascinated by it. In fact, in the building here, people always ask about it. So basically, your job is to catch online predators. That's as much as we could say.
Yeah, look, we talk about keeping kids safe online. You know, there's so many apps out there these days, and unfortunately, not everyone on the internet is as nice as what we are in here. So, you know, you've got to sort of treat it like a public place. So what the internet is, you know, stranger danger, but you've got to be careful what you do online.
Do you kind of give lectures at the football club to people about Snapchat and sort of making sure
that I'm always watching? That's a good one to start, actually.
I tell the girls all the time, you may not see me on Facebook, but I'm on Facebook.
Is there anything, any advice you could give to a young man like Rat? He's probably getting a lot of attention, you know, people are asking things of him, you know, what kind of dangers are there?
Well, you know, you just, when you're talking to someone on the internet and they say that they're a 14-year-old boy, then perhaps they are not a 14-year-old boy. You've got to be really careful. I don't know why Rat would be a 14-year-old boy.
I've been done with that one before.
Yeah, you just got to be safe, and you've got to have and I know all the boys look after this pretty well, is keep the security settings locked down, and, just behave like you would in a public place, because the internet's not private.
Well, now let's get into your top four. Why not? While you're hot.
JJ's top four.
Except it's Beck's top four, because JJ's not here. And because he's not here, I thought we'd go with the top four excuses for missing training. Because I've heard some absolute classics in my time. These are actual excuses that I've heard from male and female players over the course of my career. So coming in at number four, I've not heard a man say this, but I have heard a woman say this. Number four is, I have cramp.
I'm cramp. Is that period cramp related? Is that
what I mean, what woman's going to question that? Yep.
Yeah.
You can't really question it. You're just like, yep.
Look at the
okay,
two guys. You just look at me like, well, what are you talking about? Is that what you mean by only a woman said that?
Yep.
But as another woman, you can go, no, well, that's rubbish. You can play through that.
Take some Nurofen and come to training. Yep, that's what I've said.
Well, that goes to all the girls in PE who used to say that to Mr. Gaynor in my school.
Mr. Gaynor. Lying.
Billy J with the biggest calves in the biz.
What a star. Get him on the show next week.
We had Mr. Gaynor and Mrs. Alcock. We were a fantastic girls' school.
Wow. All boys' school?
It was not. It was a co-ed school.
Oh, would have been great.
Oh, dear. Okay, so coming in at number three, I drove to training but couldn't see anyone's car in the car park, so I figured training was off.
Oh, my God. Who was that?
Just the worst. Like, that is actually an excuse I've heard. Like, texted to me. Number two, and this sort of applies to Rat, I think.
That's feedback.
Here we go.
I've had a hair dye disaster.
Yes, they do get on top of you.
Yeah, it can't come to training.
Rat had a hair dye disaster and he rocked up the next day and played.
Yeah, big cameras.
With a burnt scalp and all.
Coconut water, that's what you need for that. And number one of the top four excuses for missing training, my dog is scared of something and I can't leave him.
Dog is scared. That's a JJ. He's
obsessed. It is, isn't it? That's why I thought it was appropriate for JJ, because we know how much he loves that dog.
We actually spoke about the dogs last week. You're a French bulldog, man.
British.
Yours is a British bulldog. Who's got the French bulldog?
French, there's a couple. We've got Hugh Greenwood, Cole Cheney, Mitch McGovern, and Charlie Cameron.
And what do you spend on a French bulldog? It's like $5,000 or $6,000,
yeah,
isn't it?
They're about five, yeah.
Jeez, these new TV rights deals aren't bad. Before we finish off, I wrote down in here, Rat's Goss. And you looked at me and just said, what on earth is that about? I just thought, mate, you know, since you've come on the show, anything you want to raise. You know, you could be like the AFL Players Association representative of your club. What's going on?
What's going on in the locker room?
What's going on in there?
Rory?
Just pretend no one's listening and tell us everything.
In the locker room, what is going on?
What is going anything on? Coming
any
up?
Any new girls? Any new girlfriends that we should know about? Yeah, anyone getting engaged?
Any engagements? No, no engagements.
Girlfriends? Lockdowns?
Yeah, I've got a girlfriend.
That's a scoop. That's the podcast first scoop of the year.
Yeah, the past couple of weeks of
you've gone exclusive.
Been thrown under the bus actually. Unsure whether this will be.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. Well, what were you expecting?
Are you social media official?
If we get a photo together and I look good enough, I'll chuck it up.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. So,
what's the lady's initials?
Her name's Georgia.
Georgia. Yeah. Listen to the podcast?
Oh, I don't think she will.
She will now, though.
I'll tell her not to. Yeah.
She'd be excited about this. Is this the first time you would have said publicly that you've got a girlfriend?
Yeah. Yep.
Right, so must be a quality.
Everyone,
quality
there you go. Heart's breaking all over Adelaide.
If you kick a goal this week, if you just blow a kiss to the camera.
Oh, wow.
Hit the podcast.
I would not be doing that.
No. Well, you don't love
it. Got that. Here you go. Maybe I don't.
All right. Let's finish up the way we always do. I like that, Rats Goss.
Yeah.
That was good. He's not a
stitch.
You should see the colour of him, listeners.
Oh, bright red.
Yeah. Oh. Why don't you, Pods, why don't you give us a cliche of the day?
So, obviously, for the rest of the year, I'm doing coaching cliches and trying to work out exactly what they mean and telling our listeners. So this one here, you probably hear a little bit. Turnovers were the story of this one. Field position really played a big role in this one. You probably hear that a bit.
Yeah, field position played a lot.
What
that
actually means is we butchered the ball. We couldn't kick. We couldn't handball. Our guys are nowhere near the level that they should be in football fundamentals. And we gave up territory of the game and we lost.
And what's another coaching cliche? I want to get this one off you. When you say... Because no one will ever say you butchered the footy, will they? Why is that?
Well, it's a bit negative.
Yeah, but like, how come you can't just say we use the ball poorly?
Yeah.
Well,
you stump me.
Can you start being a little more honest then, Potts?
Well, this is where this quote of the day has turned to the coaching cliche. I'm trying to actually flesh out what they actually mean. So wait till 2 weeks' time when I get the next one.
What about JJ? Will he play?
JJ, yeah, I mean, the hand that he ate wasn't great, but most
is this honestly what it is?
What?
Well, yeah, we haven't said this on the podcast yet. He is missing due to Bataki.
Food poisoning.
Well, we didn't say that Beck's top four, but the fact that JJ's not here, and we upgraded him today anyway.
Upgrade, yes.
Was he had a bad piece of ham in Melbourne on Monday, and now it's Thursday as we're recording this, and he's still no good. So but he is playing tonight.
How long do you give a player to prove that they've recovered from ham?
To be at a podcast?
Like on Friday, on the day of the game?
I'd say until the warm-ups.
No, look, he trained yesterday, which was Thursday, and he's playing tonight. So, but he couldn't come to the podcast.
Right. Is that a coaching cliche? We'll find out in the warm-up.
What's your best cliche?
Oh, my best cliche wasn't from a coach, but our runner, Matthew Bode, when we're playing in Darwin, we're running around, he goes, "It's not as hot as it feels, boys."
Yeah.
So thanks for that.
All right, well, that's another episode of the Podscast. Good luck to the boys tonight. Let's please, on behalf of all the fans, we need to turn the tide on Geelong. And thanks again to the Adelaide Football Club. Go to www.afc.com.au and thank you to Toyota.